Last week, we saw two texts that engaged with the question of why is a Sefer Torah invalid if it has a misspelling, even if that misspelling does not actually affect the meaning of the text, right? The meaning of the text is the same. You still know which mitzvot to do or which mitzvot not to do, what the stories are. None of that changes, right? So why does the text of the Torah matter that much, right? And we looked at that from two angles, both of which were based in this midrashic notion that the Torah has like a sort of ontological connection with creation, right? And so the first text was the Ramban saying, well, since the string of letters that is the Torah is actually of one long name of God, and that's actually the mechanism through which God created the world, you can't mess with that, right? You cannot misspell God's name. Who knows what might happen if you mess that up, right? So that there's some layer of understanding that is our perception of the created universe and our perception of the commandments. And then there's a whole nother layer, right, that's happening under our perception that is actually holding the world together and that is creating the world. And then we have to be careful sort of not to mess with. And then the Moreh Na'im, which was the second text that we saw, said, well, actually, it's not really about God. God's going to be okay, right? Whether or not you delete a letter from the Torah. But we are actually the individual letters of the Torah, right? Each person has a letter in the Torah that their soul corresponds to. And we're all necessary, right? Every single one of us is an essential component of the Torah. And that means that all of us actually are the entire Torah, right? And so each person and each person's contributions, right, are what is critical and why one cannot mess with the spelling of the Torah. So if you put those two texts together, you could sort of see, right, that the Torah has these three levels, right? One is this, you know, essential nature of God that we're not necessarily always able to tap into, but is there as the foundation. Then there's another layer, which is us, right? And, you know, put us all together sort of Captain Planet style, and you get the Torah and you get God and you get the created world. And then there's also the Torah that we know, right? The Torah of stories and the Torah of laws that we are accustomed, right, to thinking of as being the most essential element of the Torah. But if you look at it, you know, through a more mystical lens, right, you see that actually there's a whole nother dimension to the Torah that is, you know, keeping the world running and enabling us to have an appreciation, right, for the role of God and for the role of other people in the universe. That was last week. Now you're all caught up. This week, we're going to be pivoting away from the Torah to prayer, which is, you know, this kind of very, which I would say is the way that we try to influence the world, right? Not through the actions of our hands, right? Keeping the mitzvot and, you know, living our regular lives, that's how we're trying to affect the world with our hands. And prayer, right, is how we're trying to affect the world or affect ourselves, right? Not through our hands, right? Trying to make a change through our speech, through our intention, and through our thought. So I thought it was like a nice compliment, right, to the Torah as instruction and construction manual that we looked at last week. And now we're going to look at the role of Torah. And so we're going to be looking at a passage from the Devil Machaneh Ephraim, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Ephraim of Sudokav. He is the Baal Shem Tov's grandson. And he actually lived with the Baal Shem Tov for a while. So he has good street cred as far as Hasidic masters go. And he has, I think, this very beautiful understanding of what prayer is and what we need in order to pray successfully. Okay, so he says, Klal gadol lavodat haborei baruch hu. There is a great principle in the service of the Blessed Creator that the core, the ikar, is ha'amana, okay, which I have translated in two words, faith/reliance. Okay, and the reason why I've translated it this way, in this hybrid way, is that for those of you who know a little Hebrew, you might know that the regular word for faith or belief is emunah, right? But he is not saying emuna. He is saying ha'amana. Okay? This is a very important distinction, as you're going to see. Emuna is almost like a philosophical posture. Do I believe that God exists, or do I believe that God created the universe? The Degel Machane Ephraim's understanding of ha'amana is much more active. It's a belief that is more like an attitude, okay? And it is, we're going to see a little bit more, right? Not about the question of whether or not God exists, but rather the question of what that means, okay? And so you could not believe in God and nevertheless still believe in the sort of principle that he's going to say this represents. You know, I'm being very vague, but I just want to make sure that you understand, right, that this is a text that is accessible to you, even if you don't believe in God, because he is not talking about a philosophical conviction in the existence of God. He's talking about something else. Okay. And my grandfather, right, the Baal Shem Tov, would instruct about this. And this is the root of all Torah. Okay. So faith and reliance, ha'amana, is the root of everything. We got to find out what it means, okay? V'zehu she'amar David ha'melech alav ha'shalom. So whenever we quote the book of Psalms, we say that it's King David who's saying it, okay? So this is what King David said. Kol mitzvotecha emuna. All of your mitzvot are faith. And he's understanding this. The Baal Shem Tov is understanding this as all of the different mitzvot that we do, they can all boil down to one principle. They could all be sort of condensed into the necessity of faith. That the core of the mitzvot is faith, and that is to have faith in God. Now remember, I already told you, maybe that's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. The Baal Shem Tov might be saying that the most important thing is to believe that God exists. But the Degel Machane Ephraim is going to take it in a different direction. And he says, and one who does have faith in God can pray every day. Okay, right. That doesn't seem to be very, you know, revolutionary, that like if you believe in God, you can pray. But he says, what does it mean to say that you believe in God? That is that if he has faith that every day God renews creation, that he is a new creation every day, and that all of the worlds are new creations. This is very different, right? This isn't a deist conception of God setting the world in motion, okay? What he is saying is the most important thing is not to believe that God exists, but rather to believe in this principle of renewal, right? This principle of recreation. I believe that God renews creation. I believe that I am a new creature. And I believe that the world is a new creature, okay? And so what it means to believe in God is to believe in, this is my like characterization of it, possibility. It's to believe in change, okay? And he needs to pray and to give praise and thanks to the one who created everything and also created him, to pray for his life, right? That is the person. To pray for their life and the life of their family and their livelihood and all good things. But if one does not believe with complete faith that God renews creation every day, then the tefillah and the mitzvot become for that person like something old and routine. Okay, and so he says, listen, if you want to be able to really pray every day, to recite the words, okay, you don't need any special attitude in order to recite the words. That is not hard. What is actually hard is to pray, okay? And he says that in order for you to actually be able to pray, you need to have a sense of renewal, that renewal is possible and that renewal is happening in you, okay? Because if not, then all of this becomes routine and he says it even more strongly in the next sentence, and it becomes revolting to him to say the identical things every day. You want to be someone who is going to wake up every morning and be excited to say Shacharit and excited to say all of the Psalms of Psukei de Zimra? You have to be someone who believes in change. You have to be someone who believes in renewal. Because otherwise, right, you're going to just be going through the motions, and it is going to be an unbearable, horrible, unpleasant burden. Okay, and I want to tell you what I think he means by this, which, you know, may not necessarily be exactly what he's saying, but this is what I've always taken out of this teaching. If you believe that everything is set, that the world can't change, that God can't change, that you can't change, where's your motivation to pray? Right? The motivation to pray comes from actually the belief that things could be better. Or alternately, right, that things could get worse, right? You're praying every day that you don't lose your job, not just if you've lost your job to get a new one, right? And so I think that this is like really, really critical, that it's not really about, or at least not exclusively about, I believe in Hashem and I love God and I want a relationship and blah, blah, blah. If you don't actually think that your prayer can do something, by which I mean that you don't believe that the world is capable of changing. If you think that everything is fixed, you can't pray. You might be able to recite words every morning. You might be able to lay tefillin. You might be able to do all the things that look like prayer. But real genuine prayer is an attempt to change things. And therefore, what you need to be able to pray is not an abstract philosophical belief in God. What you need to be able to pray is a belief that things can change. Okay. And now he's going to bring another teaching from the Baal Shem Tov on another verse from Tehillim, where David HaMelech, right, the author of the Psalms, the traditional author of the Psalms, says, Al tashlicheni le'et zigna. Do not discard me at the time of aging. Okay. Now, the plain sense of this, you know, verse is, I don't want to be isolated in my old age. At the time that I'm most vulnerable, I don't want to feel alone. Okay? But the spiritual understanding of it, according to the Baal Shem Tov, is, I don't want to be cast away into Eitz Zikna, into a time of aging. Basically, I don't want to become old. And what it means to become old, what it means to become Zakein, is not, I don't want to reach the ripe old age of, you know, 80, 100, 120, right? It's not about years. It's about attitude, right? Meaning that the matter will be old to him. He doesn't want to be old. He doesn't want things to feel old. He doesn't want to feel like nothing changes. I've done this a million times. You know, what was yesterday is going to be what's tomorrow. For just as aging causes weakness in all of the limbs of a person due to the fact that their strength and their suppleness and the flow of the blood, which sustains a person, weaken, similarly in matters of the spirit, something which is old and aged does not have enjoyment and great liveliness and no new component. Okay, and so essentially what the Dechamach and Ephraim is saying here, right, is that the notion of renewal, right, which is the core of having a fruitful prayer life, is, as he said earlier, actually the core of everything, right? The thing that you should be most afraid of spiritually, according to this teaching, is feeling like it's the same thing over and over. Nothing changes. You can't change. You're not going to change. Nothing about the world is going to change. You know, the regular thoughts of an older person, right? And the regular thoughts of a depressed person, right? There's nothing I can do to change. I'm stuck, right? And, you know, as someone who has many a time taught the same class to students of different ages, I can tell you that I have seen it over and over and over again, that the older a group of students are, the more they are likely to say, I don't really think things can change. And the younger a group of students are, the more likely they are to believe not only that things can change, but that they can change and that they can be agents of change. And essentially what King David says is, I always want to be in the former group, right? In the latter group, the youngsters, right? Even if I am old in years, I want to be young in spirit. What it means to be young in spirit is to be creative, is to think of the world and to think of yourself as having potential. Okay. And this is the meaning of Chadashim labakarim rabba emunatecha. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, right? And so what he does here is very beautiful and very creative, right? He finds a verse that links these two pieces, the element of newness, chadashim, and the element of faith, right? Rabba emunatecha. And he says, aha, right? The greatness of faith is this understanding or this conviction that everything is new every morning. Every day is a new opportunity. You're not stuck in the mistakes that you made in the past. You're not stuck in the patterns that you were in the past. Meaning that through the new every morning, right, through the fact that you believe that everything is going to get renewed, okay, that you renew creation every day. And through that, great is your faith, right? What we're talking about emunah, we're actually talking about this capacity to change. It turns out that the root of tefillah and mitzvot is faith. Okay, I just want to do a little bit of some of the background texts for this, because I think it's actually very interesting to see what he's contributing that is a chidush, right? What he is adding in that is interesting. So there is the notion that God creates the world every day, okay? That's ancient sort of a midrashic and later Kabbalistic idea, right? That the world is actually occasionalist, right? And God is constantly recreating the world. Okay, but the notion of the mitzvot and the practices and the prayer needing to be new, that actually comes through a sort of different channel. And we see this in the midrash, which Rashi quotes, Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzavecha. On this day, God commands you. Right? Why does the verse say God commands you on this day? Bechol yom yihyu be'enecha chadashim, ki'ilu bo bayom nitzaved aleihem. Every day, they, right, that is the mitzvot, should be new in your eyes, as if on that day you were commanded about them. Okay? So the midrash and the Rashi says, aside from what you might believe about the world, right, that the world is constantly being created, that's one belief. But there's an entirely separate attitude, right, which has to do with you. And, right, one of the things that I think is really important here is, like, this is actually not a statement of reality. The statement that God renews creation every day is, at its core, a natural philosophy, right? Claim that the world is contingent and God is constantly recreating it. But when you say every day they should be new in your eyes, as if on that day you were commanded about them, that is not true. The Torah was given a long time ago. You were commanded yesterday. You were commanded when you were born or when you turned bar mitzvah, or whatever that moment was. Okay, but you want to have an attitude of as if. And I think that sort of looking at this, you know, I find really opens up for me, prayer and practice when I'm in a space of my belief is not so strong, right? Because we've taken it from the belief that God exists, then to the place of we believe that the world can be constantly recreated. And then we're moving it a little bit further to say, actually, we all know the Torah isn't being re-given every day. But you can have the attitude of every day it's going to be new. You can have an attitude of this is fresh, this is exciting, I can generate something new out of it. And that might be sufficient even without a core, quote unquote, belief about the nature of the world or even about the nature of yourself, right? And this is, I think, a little bit of fake until you make it. Ideally, we would believe in God always. And that belief in God would include, you know, some principle that the world is constantly shiftable. But even if we don't have that, maybe what we could just have is the commitment to take on that attitude, right? And maybe the commitment to take on that attitude would be enough. And the Rashi here is really talking about all the mitzvot, right? And is talking about the notion of like accepting the Torah or engaging with the Torah in a new way every day. But the Shulchan Aruch, okay, which is not a book of philosophy and not a book of theology, okay? In his articulation of the laws of Kriyat Shema, right after, he talks about how important it is to every time you say the Shema, really appreciate what you're doing and have intention and focus and, you know, like have awe, right? And actually almost like a sort of panic. Oh my gosh, right? I'm taking on the responsibility of the, you know, the weight of what it means to be a servant of God. He says, and he very cleverly uses the verse, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, which is one of the verses in the Shema, right? Which is not the same verse that Rashi's quoting. So the verse says, Asher Anochi Mitzavcha Hayom, that I, God, command you today, which teaches that every day should appear in your eyes as if it were new, not like someone who has already heard it many times, and it is therefore not precious to him, right? And so here he's giving like a little bit of advice on how to recite the Shema with the intention that it deserves, is don't act like you accepted the mitzvot yesterday and you're already used to them and you're already doing them and you already know what's expected to you and you already feel really confident and it already feels old hat. Actually, you should be acting as if this is the first time you're doing it, every time you're doing it. And then you could just sort of see that the Dagel Machan Ephraim is taking the next step, right? The first step is this is about the Torah and the mitzvot. The next step is this is about the recitation of Kriyat Shema. And then the third step is this is actually about prayer. And prayer means everything, right? There's no limit to what you can pray about. And the Dagel Machan Ephraim is saying this principle of today, that I have to do it again today, that it doesn't carry over from yesterday, right, is the core of what makes it possible for us to like truly engage in prayer. And I think that he means by that, right, truly engage in spiritually transformative activity, right, what it means to really try to have an impact on God, what it means to have an impact on the world, right, and to have a belief, right, that that is possible, which I will say, you know, hopefully also then translates and inspires one to do actual work with your hands, right? If you stop at prayer, I'm not sure you've accomplished that much. But if you use the inspiration of prayer and the guidance of prayer to then give you that push that you need to do something with your hands, right? Then I think the prayer is doing the work that it is supposed to be doing. Okay, we have a few more minutes. So if anybody wants to raise their hand and ask a question.
I guess I would say that I don't know if I think that's really true. I feel like I'm most happy, most productive, most hopeful when I'm in a routine that is not a rut. And I'm wondering where, if there's a place for that in this idea of creation and our role in it.
Yeah, so I think that he assumes that there is a routine, right? He assumes that there is an every morning you're going to wake up and pray. And then I think that for a lot of people, and maybe this is not true about you, sometimes that structure feels really sustaining and sometimes that structure feels really suffocating, right? And what he is saying is, whether it is sustaining or suffocating has to do with your belief in its potential, right? If you think that it is going to help propel you or help propel something in the world, then you're motivated to do the same thing even though it is the same thing, right? Whereas if it just feels like a burden and it feels like something you've done a million times before and you've already seen that it hasn't been that effective, right? Then you're not really in a position where you can pray, right? You might be saying words and you might be showing up to synagogue, but you're not really praying.
So I had a little trouble or a little confusion with the beginning part with like even if you don't believe in the existence of God, you can still pray and you like have faith in renewal, you know, it seems a bit circular to me. Like you're praying to what and you're praying to whom and you're praying, like, it seems to me that prayer is like, involves like a connection and a relationship. But if you, so what would you be doing? It seems circular. It seems that it's, you know, there still has to be a belief in God. Or
right. So what I would say is that Zechariah Machan Ephraim assumes that you believe in God, right? And so what I, Dina Weiss, do not assume that you believe in God. Okay, but the Zechariah Machan Ephraim assumes that, like, he's talking to people who believe in God and people who are God-fearing. So why are these people so bored and frustrated in prayer, right? So I think that what he's really trying to contribute is you have to not rest at, I believe in God and therefore I pray. You have to also believe that the God to whom you're praying or the you about whom you're praying is dynamic, right? And so I think that you're right. He would say, yeah, obviously, if you think that there's no God, who are you praying to and what are you doing? Now, we moderns might be able to find a way around that, right? But what he like is trying to contribute is that's actually not enough, right? To have a really live prayer practice. It's not enough to believe that God exists. You need to believe that God can, or you need to believe that the world can. And it's that extra layer, right, of potential and change that is motivating. It's the fact that God exists might be obligating, but it's not really motivating. And so I think that's why he feels the need to add on that extra layer. Okay. Thank you all for learning with me, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the sessions with Rav Aviva. Take care.